Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a valiant that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is episode number 313, and we're coming to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky tonight. And joining me in the co-hosting roles tonight are from parts unknown in Tennessee, the one, the only, the one behind the hashtag Dark Style. That would be Daniel Dark. And joining us in progress in just a couple of minutes will be the lovely, vivacious, and wonderful Holly Marie Phillippe. So, yes, we're going to have a full deck of hosts. Weather is much better than last week, and we are expecting no transformer explosions, knock on wood, this week like we had last week. We did get the show done, but wow, what an adventure. So, yes, poor Daniel and Holly, they got cut off. The board was down, and we got cut off from that. Power was out, and oh, what an adventure. That was not one I would like to repeat anytime soon, but Bridget was a great guest and quite a trooper, and hung out with me, and we had a great conversation. So if you missed last week, please do go back and listen to that show, because Bridget was fantastic and definitely a trooper with everything imploding, because we were getting barraged by a major tornado warning caliber storm at the time, and didn't have power until about 5 a.m. that night. So yes, it was glorious. We were running by candlelight. Mr. Dark, you have been proud of us using some good Victorian era candlelight tactics, but we survived.
Yeah, we actually had a tornado that touched down about 2 miles from the house. So,
whoo, you almost got teleported to Kentucky. Oh boy, that's a little too close for comfort. Oh man, but and we certainly have some adventures with those once in a while on the show. Why that is, I don't know. But like I said, you know, I got to find that episode. That was a few years back, but I was actually
even the guys want to listen, but they want to suck up all that knowledge.
But I had to find have to find that episode number, because that was something else, the one where we had a tornado siren going off in Lexington, like right outside the window here while I was broadcasting. That was a few years ago, but that was definitely one to remember, and probably won't forget last night's anytime soon either, or not last night, the last episode, last week's anytime soon either, because that was another adventure, and when we hung on by a thread as far as connections go. But wow, something else. But I think that would be Holly. I think she just checked in.
That would be I. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes,
Holly Phillippe. There she is. Yay.
I made it. Shoo, barely. Oh, I've been running all over like a chicken with my head cut off today. So I'm here now. I can finally sit down and relax and chat with y'all fine people.
Good. So much activity. And the chat room is working and open, folks.
Do what, Daniel?
You're running and flopping everywhere. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much. Yeah, there's a lot of flopping going around, too. Yeah. I ended up, I went to like 4 different places earlier and did grocery shopping and come home, put it all up, made dinner, ate, did dishes, and got ready, and now I'm on the show. That's literally been my day. I have been on a roll.
She has definitely been on a roll.
We get the joy. Stevens, Burt Reed, pulls his hair out, but this weekend we get to have the 3 youngest granddaughters, so that's always fun. Their ages 1, 4, and 7, so
yeah, great.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So excited. incredibly excited.
Oh, it's fun, but ooh, it'll wear me out. Shoo.
How old is the Raven one now?
The Raven one, you won't believe it. She's 7, but she will be 8 years old in July. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
She'll be 8 years old. You've noticed that she was a little feller.
Yep. I should be getting some good writing done this weekend and a little bit of editing work. There'll be some bunkering in at several points this weekend.
I'll be going to the park. And
you're going to get stuff done this weekend, Stephen. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I will. It's called shutting the door and locking it. I have methods. It's very effective.
I gate them out of the hallway so they can't get too.
Okay, Holly, your mic disconnected, I think, there. Hello?
I can't hear anymore.
No, Holly, you disconnected on us. So I guess you have to try to reset or something. Yeah, you know, we just got a new piece for that headset, so we'll have to see what happens here. Yeah, you know, just got a new microphone boom and piece for that headset, so I have to check it out and see what's happening here. But I do have some news. Monday was the release of my latest book in print, Daniel, Ragnar Stormbringer Tales, Volume 2, and it is a nice collection of three novellas. It's got The Awakening, Burning Skies, and Tears in the Snow. And I love these because they do show the diversity of the world that it's set in, because, like, Burning Skies is inspired by the Byzantine kind of world, Middle East. And then Tears in the Snow has more of a Norse inspiration. And then the other one, The Awakening, has more of a Celtic type setting and inspiration. So, yeah, it's pretty cool how it all works together. So, but, yeah, it's out in print. And so hopefully a few of you will kindly pick that up and give it a shot. So, yes, Daniel, I've got a new book.
Great. Did you get to watch any of the ancient battles on Story Network?
Not yet. No, I've been pretty much just wall to wall on all the workload lately. So I haven't had too much time to explore much, except for getting a little bit of reading done now and then. But yeah, it's been tough. So I have not.
That's the stuff that I know that you would enjoy.
Oh, I will definitely want to check that out. Yeah, definitely want to check that out for sure.
It's Story TV.
Tell us a little about that.
And
I think we got.
They had almost a week long on just different battles from Alexandria to, you know, Egypt to, you know, all the different ancient battles across the globe, basically.
Right. That sounds cool. Yeah, because I do study a lot of old battles and definitely enjoy that. I think Holly's trying to get back on there, but it's just like crackling. So I'm not sure what the problem is.
Now can you hear me?
There you go. I hear you now.
I changed out headsets. Yeah, it's already, it's not working, Steve. The brand new thing, it's the headset. It's not the piece. It has to be inside. I've unplugged it, plugged it back in, fiddled with it. I mean, you could fiddle with it, but, yeah, it don't work.
That's a new piece,
like the other one.
Yeah, we'll have to get a new full headset then. Don't worry, Holly. Don't you worry. But I was just talking about my new book, so let's keep on that
here.
Theme. Yeah, let's keep on the roll
here. I got
earbuds
with a microphone. We're good. I got backup.
No tech problems tonight. Yeah, knock on wood. Let's stay away from joyous thunderstorms and tech issues.
I don't think Daniel's got any thunderstorms tonight either. Do you, Daniel?
No. We've got clear skies coming in tomorrow.
That's what I thought. Good deal.
It may be cloudy tonight, but that's about it.
All right.
Good deal. And also, before we go to our sponsors for the evening, I do want to mention that Stephen Shrewsbury has an excellent blog tour going on this week, posting about it in the Seven Star Press channels, also on my personal social media channels. So if you follow me anywhere, I've been sharing all of his posts. But he's done a great set of blog posts on various writing topics, some real good interviews, and also there's some reviews included, kind of centering around celebrating his new novel, Killer of Giants. So you definitely want to check that out. And yeah, that's a cool thing. Blog tours are a fun way to really get to know the author behind the book. They really are. And I think not enough people take advantage of the opportunity with writers they like when they're on them, because it's a lot of material. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for the author. Yeah, it's like they write a whole collection of articles for a week's worth of
blog. It's cool, though,
because
readers love that. They love it. Readers love it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And
Shrews is a character.
Yep.
And let me tell you, we recently announced Imaginarium, the award-winning record-holding, Carrie Canetsy, recently as a spotlighted guest Imaginarium. She is built like Xena. I mean, she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's going to be featured in our awards banquet. She's going to help out with that part of definitely going to make that part add to the presentation for sure. She is a presence, but she will be also teaming up with Mr. Shrewsbury at his table. And so it's going to be, oh, man, yeah, you all are in for a treat at Imaginarium. I tell you, it's like you're getting to see some genuine sword and sorcery, vintage sword and sorcery folks right there.
My fellow Amazon.
Yes.
I love it. I will have a fellow Amazon.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So, keep your eyes on the Imaginarium site. We got more coming. Got a new spotlighted guest that should be confirmed by, I think, tomorrow maybe. And so, yeah, we definitely are looking forward to bringing you even more and more and more. And we are doing a campaign for our individual patrons right now. It's only $50. You can even use cryptocurrency. Imaginarium, through our partnership with BitPay, we actually can accept Dogecoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum as payment for everything at Imaginarium. So you can even use some extra crypto if you have it to become an individual patron. You get a badge, you get listed on the site. Help us really support what we're doing. It's a really good thing. A lot of good folks are already patrons for this year. And you can see them on the official sponsors page right now. But yeah, definitely give it some thought if you would, and come aboard with us, because we got so much coming in the summer. But I'll go ahead and get into sponsors tonight, and it's the awesome, wonderful Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, with the, of course, our other friend and longtime supporter of the show, Ren Garcia. So we got a couple of really good spots for you to check out, and please do and support them. Buy books from them, support them, and tell them you heard about them on the Star Chamber show, if you would. So we'll start out with, since we haven't started with Mr. Garcia in a while, we'll go ahead and start with Ren, and then we'll go over to Sandy. So here you go. Here's Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes. Yes, Ren, we're weird enough for you.
Yes, we are weird enough for you, Ren Garcia. Yes, we are. And Daniel, Daniel's just
barely
just
normal
Daniel.
For you. So,
yes, he's normal enough. That's awesome. Love that spot. Love it. Love it. And so now, yeah, thank you so much, Ren. And we're going to go over immediately and bring you an awesome spot from Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender.
Fantasy author Sandy Lender wants to take you on vacation. All you have to do is grab one of Sandy's many spec fiction titles and let her sweep you away. Get ready to cheer for strong heroines, multifaceted zombies, and, of course, all those fabulous dragons. Follow Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform to select your next summer vacation destination.
Yes, perfect way to start summer. Get yourself some Sandy Lender books. And, just an absolutely fantastic writer. I can vouch for that very thoroughly. I have actually had the honor of working as editor on a few of Sandy's projects, so I know her work well. And, yeah, we're talking, major league quality. So great stuff. So, yes, it looks like our guest is on deck, and we are definitely going to go right into the guest segment of tonight's show. And I am excited about tonight's guest. Learned about tonight's guest through Holly first, and she became subsequently a guest at Imaginarium Convention. So Imaginarium 22, you'll be able to meet tonight's guest. She is an author, podcaster, and entrepreneur, and she is the author of the nonfiction memoir Dangerous Intentions, Mouthful of Lies, and also is the host of the podcast Real Talk with, and introducing and bringing out to the show tonight, Q Alexander. So Q, welcome to the show. Great to have you. Your mic should be on.
Thank you. Can you all hear me?
Very well.
Yeah. We hear you fine. Hello, hello.
Great. Hi. Thank
Welcome.
You so much for having me. Thank you.
I told Stephen it's going to be nice to finally talk to you because, you know, we've exchanged several messages over like LinkedIn and you know, Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you all, too.
And you picked a better night, Q. Q, it's a better night because I don't know if you heard about this, but last week we had a major tornado caliber storm hit right about 20 minutes into the show. We had a transformer explosion right outside the house, and we lost almost every connection but mine with the guest. And so we managed to
Daniel
do the show.
Daniel was gone. Ours was gone. It was crazy.
Everything was down.
What were you saying, Daniel?
I was asking earlier if the Q is for Queen.
You know, Q is for whatever. You know, I get that all the time. They say, is it for Queen? I don't know how they change the Q to C because they say, is it for cutie? And I'm like, whatever. Whatever you want the Q to mean is fine.
That's nice.
Well, I figured you must be a queen, you know, to be on our show, so.
Oh, cool.
There
thank
you go.
You. That's
there
a good
you go.
One. Thank you.
Well, tonight I'm just glad that everything's actually working and we actually have all the connections going. So that's good. So I wanted to at least give you that much encouragement as we begin. But, you've got a lot going on. Looking forward to seeing you in person this summer at Imaginarium 2022, which is shaping up marvelously. I mean, it's going to be amazing, and you're going to be a wonderful part of that. But tonight's audience is definitely going to want to learn about all the areas that you are involved in creatively. And I think maybe the best place to start is your memoir. I think that would be great. Dangerous Intentions, Mouthful of Lies. I'm curious after reading a bit about it. Tell us about it in your words and let us know what that's all about.
Oh, sure. So Dangerous Intentions, Mouthful of Lies, that was my first book, which officially launched back in May 2017. It's available online worldwide. That stems from two relationships that I went through. I experienced mental, emotional abuse, betrayal, a lot of confusion, manipulation. It was some deep stuff. And I have been writing for a long time. I used to write in my journal when I was growing up. And after the second situation, relationship that I went through, I didn't feel like it was a normal thing that I had experienced. It was extremely draining. And as I just said, you know what, I think sometimes when people go through hurtful situations, they kind of choose to go in a negative direction, whether it's, you know, trying to slash somebody's tires or go up to their job or the, you know, doing things that are basically giving that person more power. And you really have to learn to take your power back. And so that's why I decided to heal myself by writing and also helping other people, because there's so many people out there who are going through things, a lot of people suffering in silence. And I think, you know, when sometimes they hear you speak or they read certain things that you write about, it really helps people. And so that's my purpose, not only to heal myself, but to also help a lot of people. And I've gotten so much great feedback. So I'm so thankful that it's really helped a lot of people in the process.
I definitely want to check it out.
You should talk now. Yeah, a bit about this because you can relate to Q. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. My first two husbands, well, you hate to talk about the dead, but that's where they should be. Both of them were very cruel individuals. Very cruel individuals, physically and mentally, you know. And what I had to overcome, that's what I said. And I tell everybody, you can either choose to be a victim or you choose to be a warrior. And I chose to be a warrior. I had to raise my children and move on, you know. You have to forge on. And you're correct. I mean, some people go off the negative aspect and go off the rails and you know, more negativity on top of negativity, it's only going to end that way. You're not going to ever come out of that rut. You know, you have to rise above that and say, I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm going to be the better person. You know, you live, you learn. We've grown from it. I look back and think I wouldn't be the strong person I am today if I wouldn't have went through what I did.
Yes.
You know, and it does. I mean, it sticks with you, and I'm sure you're like me. You probably don't take crap off of nobody. You know, that's just the mentality that you get in.
No, I do that. Right, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's it. You know, we get in that mentality. We're not gonna take it anymore, and you become very strong-willed and a warrior, so... Yeah, I can definitely relate. So I'm definitely going to have to check out your book.
That's the word that Sandy just used. I want to just let you know that from the chat room, Sandy said that's why she wrote She's Not Broken. She loves it when other people can come out like a warrior. She said that right before you used the word warrior, Holly, so I thought that was interesting. But she also wrote a book as well. And so, yeah, you've got some synergy going tonight on your book here, Q, the people that understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
Yes, yep. I love that.
So as you were saying, Q, just then, you were saying something right, I think, right as I made that comment. I might have talked over you just a little bit.
I don't remember. I think I would just say, just listening to what Holly was saying, I'm glad that, you know, she persevered and got through that. And, you know, again, it's helpful when we share our experiences because it does help other people. I've had many messages come to me. Some people have said that when they read my book, they started shedding tears and they realized that they were not the crazy one, because that's what manipulation is, right? They make you feel like you're making things up. It's all in your head. So it's really good to hear that type of feedback.
Yeah, and to know that you've reached, you know, people that's went through similar circumstances. And that's the whole part of it. I plan to also write a book. I started with a co-author few years back, but she ended up getting surprised pregnant with baby number 4. And that wasn't planned.
Nice.
And so that kind of turned her life upside down. So we do plan to get back on it, but I do want to do like a memoir, you know, and try to help. You know, other women know that they're not alone. You know, there's been a lot of us go through this, and you can prevail. You can overcome. I know it seems dark when you're going through it. At the time, it seems hopeless, but you can overcome. It's all a mentality.
Well, that's what my new TV, digital TV show is all about, is it's called Out of the Darkness with Daniel Dark, and it mm-hmm. is about people walking through those darknesses that they had to walk through to become the light that they're shining on the world today.
Yes.
To be what they are. Yeah.
You know, anybody, you know, no matter what they tell you, they are worth, you know, a whole lot more than what happened to them.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Definitely. I was going to ask you, Q, on that path or the process of writing the memoir. I know that Sandy had mentioned in the chat room that it's a healing and helping to write the book, but also at the same time, experiences like that, it's got to be difficult because you have to revisit them in a rather very interior, vivid way to write, to express them for a memoir. So tell us a little bit about the process and how it was healing, or how or was it difficult to go over those things and examine them so carefully. Tell us about the process of writing a memoir on some difficult subjects like that.
It was very freeing for me. Like, the more that I continued to write, I just felt like I was just releasing so much that I needed to release. And it's just like so much weight was lifted off of me. I had moments of, thinking and maybe just feeling angry, feeling disappointed, feeling frustrated. But I was so glad that, I stood firm to what I believed in. I knew that what was happening to me, it wasn't right. I knew that I was doing the right thing by leaving the situation. I never picked up the phone to call either individual or send a text or anything. I just completely kept moving on with my life. And I get a lot of people that asked me, how was I able to do that? Because, sometimes it's difficult where people get attached to toxic relationships and they allow themselves to fall back into that pattern. And I never want allowed that to happen, because I'm the type of person, when I get to a point, I'm a pretty fair person. I feel like sometimes I can give you the benefit of the doubt, to think that we are all different. We handle experiences differently. But when someone is just being plain, just disrespectful and just cruel and just rude, like, there is no excuse for that. There is no explaining that. And so I got to that point of, I'm not dealing with it anymore. I'm done. That's it. And so I just put everything into my writing. I was focused. I got rid of anything or anybody that was negative, any distraction. I got rid of all of it. And sometimes what I realize is, when you are in that mode of working on things and you are so focused, that's where the most negativity sometimes comes at you, and you just have to be strong and you have to be determined and you have to know what you really want and just completely remove everything. And that's how I was able to write my book in less than 1 month, because I was dedicated every single day, morning, noon, night. I would take my laptop to work. I was constantly, every time I had a thought in my mind, I would just write it down. And I just continued to just go, just write and write and write and write until I got it all out. And it was all worth it. It was all worth it.
Well, good for you. That's awesome. And that is so true. I call it trimming the branches. Steven gets so tickled.
Yeah.
He's learned over the years. He's learned.
Yeah.
Listen to me. You have to get rid of these toxic people in your life. And I don't care if they're blood related or if they're just friends, so-called friends, you have to get rid of that. If they are toxic and bringing you nothing but negativity, you have to get rid of it for your own well-being. And there's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself.
That's true.
I totally agree with you 100%. I've cut a lot of branches.
Yeah,
over the years.
You have to.
You
do. It's necessary. Yes.
It definitely is. And Stevens weren't that.
Yeah, I got
he
better.
He used to be a lot more nicer.
Oh,
he's
wow.
learned.
Stevens
and it's
still
so
likes
much. Do what, Daniel?
Stevens still likes to be able to go down and sleep at night without having to keep one eye open.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's true.
But well, I don't get taken advantage of nearly as much as I used to, thanks to Holly giving me a little guidance in that area. But you know, certainly I hadn't been through anything as severe as both Q and Holly had. Yeah, definitely that's a whole other level. I think that what you expressed is also great advice for writers of all types of projects, though, because you mentioned that you got it out, you wrote it. You didn't worry about, you know, perfecting everything right then and there. You got the material mm-hmm. down and rode the momentum, and then, you know, you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the manuscript done, and that's something that, you know, a lot of writers, you know, they get tangled up and, you know, trying to perfect everything too early instead of just riding the wave of the getting that first draft down. And I think that it was very insightful, you know, that you took, you know, the approach to, you know, get it down get it down on paper, but probably on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
But
I give that advice a lot, because even when I had my book launch, and I had a number of people come up to me, and they always say that they started writing, but they stopped. For whatever reason, either, you know, they get writer's block or the distractions, as I just mentioned, or just different things. And I always encourage them, you know, to just keep going. I always encourage them. I'm like, I know sometimes it's tough, mm-hmm. or, you know, don't worry about the opinions. I think a lot of people, especially with social media, people are so focused on what other people think about them. And it's not about other people. It's about you. What do you want for your life? That's what you have to focus on. And so that's one of the things, believing in yourself is so important. And again, not allowing the thoughts of other people to become your own thoughts. That's really, really important. That's something that I strive to do. And that's why I've been able to accomplish different things, because I don't worry about other people.
Well, if you take the demographics that we're looking at on this show, we've got four of us on here, and only one is not lived through a traumatic event like that.
Mm-hmm. It happens to more people than what is known. Because a lot of people, well, and Stevens found that out through me too. You know, he's like, I just never heard of so much stuff happening. And so, you know, and I'm like, it does. But women just don't talk about it. Or men, you know, people don't talk about it. Especially case like, well, even abuse, you know, sexual abuse and all that. People just don't go around talking about it to everybody. You know, you have to be close with somebody or whatever, you know, before they actually talk about it. It's just not something that's aired out everywhere. This day and time, it's getting better. I mean, more people, you know, feel better about being able to be open and talk about things more, and mental health and, you know, things like that, which is great.
Right.
So people do, you know, have a way to talk through things, because it does help, as you know. It does help to talk to somebody and let other people know, you know, hey, I went through this and I made it, and you can too, you know.
Well, that's where a book like Q's, I think, is very valuable, like Dangerous Intentions, Mouthful of Lies. When you have a book like that out there, you know, somebody that, you know, people, you know, they may not know Q, they can see that, you know, okay, you know, they can relate to it, they can connect to it, they can bond with that and know, you know, that they aren't alone. And so, I mean, when you have a book where, you know, someone has shared something that intimate and painful, I mean, I think that it does a wonderful service for people all over, and you know, and helping them deal with those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So
I've had several people ask me to write my book on it, and I haven't started that yet. That is not in my process right now. It probably needs to be after listening to you. But, you know, it's things, you know, that I don't even want to think about anymore. And
yeah.
you're taking the opportunity to relive all that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
as Q talked about it, it lifted it off of her, so you know she can go on with her life now.
Right. Right.
But I'm guessing
that
as
you feel like the weight was lifted by getting it out into the book. I mean, did you feel a relief? You know, did that help part of your healing process, Q?
Yeah, it was a big part. And I went to therapy maybe twice. I didn't, you know, go too much, but that was also helpful. And I think also people have this negative take on going to therapy where, oh, you have to be crazy or something, or they look down on
mm-hmm.
it. And that's not the case. Again, when you say it's about a mindset thing, yes, and every life is about growing, and you should want to get better. You should want to learn things about yourself. You should, you know, want to progress in life. So I'm glad that I went. I didn't need anybody to tell me. And I had a lot of things that I knew that I needed to do, getting that confirmation, that help from a professional to have them listen to me with no judgment. And I think sometimes we think of a counselor, right? We think of someone, they have their notepad and they're just writing down, you know, what you're saying, writing down notes. And that does happen. But with this particular therapist, when I say that she really connected with me, I had my head down for the most part. And I was just expressing, you know, the hurt that I went through and the steps that I had taken to get away from this situation. And when I looked up, her eyes were red because she was crying, and she passed me the tissue, and then, of course, I started crying, and she just really connected with me. She really felt my pain, and that really, like, it made me feel comfortable. It made me feel like, wow, you know, this, she doesn't even know me, and for her to really just connect with me, and she said, do you realize, she said, you're a smart woman, do you realize that you're answering your own questions? And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, I guess I knew. That's why I said I knew what I needed to do, but it just felt good to just have someone to talk to, a professional to talk to. So that was helpful as well.
Yes, and there used to be a whole lot of stigma against, like you said, going to a therapist, it is getting better. You know, it's getting a lot better because people that don't even have like a severe mental illness now are going because, well, they've had traumatic things they need to work through, or, you know, trauma from childhood, or, you know, just all kinds of different things now. And it's good because, like I said, it's great when you can talk to somebody about it. Just getting it off your chest with sharing it with someone else, that is a phenomenal tool. It really is. And you writing the book, you know, as was said, when I started working on mine, the notes that I started making, you know, a few years ago, it is therapeutic because you feel like, oh, I'm releasing this. It's out there now. The world, you know, I'll share it with the world. It's out of my head. You know, you're not just stuck
mm-hmm.
with it. You know, all by yourself. You're sharing it. It's out. It's like purging.
Yes.
Well,
I
want to ask Q on similar to that, because Q mm-hmm. expressed that the therapist who didn't know her was able to really connect and bond with her. And this is a little bit different. But when the book came out, a lot of readers, I'm sure, that read it didn't know you before. You know, they got the book, and did you hear or did you get notes or emails or any kind of messages from readers that did not know you before who, you know, your book was able to help in some way? And did they connect with you in the same way that you connected maybe with your therapist a little bit through your book? Did you get some of that after your book came out?
Yes, I got a lot of feedback. And to be honest, I I'm surprised that the amount of men that showed support and purchased mm-hmm. my book. A lot of women, too, of course, but, you know, when I speak and I write, I also, it's not just about women going through things. Men go through things as well. And just mm-hmm. like there are toxic men, there are toxic women. And sometimes I don't like when I'm looking on social media or just the narrative that people put out there a lot. Yes, there are some bad men, there are some bad women, but I think sometimes mm-hmm. they go so hard when it comes to men and, you know, putting them down a lot. And that's the thing with me, regardless of what I've gone through and my bad experiences, you know, the people who hurt me, I have not allowed it to change me and turn me into a bitter person. I still believe that
right.
there are good men out there because there absolutely are.
Sure.
And that's what I tell people, too. Some women go into this mindset, and men, too. You know, they go into this mindset of, you know, forget all men or forget all women, and they just have this hatred. And, again, that goes
right.
back to maybe if these people that I was in relationships with, if they took the time to address their childhood trauma, and their
mm-hmm.
demons, whatever they have going on inside of them.
Take responsibility,
you know,
for their own mental health. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that would
yep.
take away from all of this chaos and damage. I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we won't understand that mindset because we don't think that way. We don't operate that way. But, you know, how do you just go around and just feel okay with yourself when you're trying to damage other people, you know, people who care about you, people who have been there for you, and you just go through life just hurting people? That's a
right.
major issue. So
yeah,
I'm glad that,
make
again,
people
I just,
feel good. It can't. But I see it over and over with these toxic people. They get in that rut,
yeah.
and it's just like the more and more people they hurt, the better they feel. But you know they really don't. You know it's just a means to an end. They're just going to keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, and they're just going to be toxic people forever, you know, until they come to the realization, oh, I've got the problem. Not everybody around me. It's me, you know.
Yeah. Yep. It's all a facade. You know, it's all a facade that,
mm-hmm.
you know, those types of people put on to act like they're
mm-hmm.
so. And, you know, again, it makes them feel a way. If they can put someone down, somehow they feel more powerful, but actually they're weak.
Right.
That's a weakness. Go through life,
right.
put down other people. That's a weakness in you. There's nothing
exactly.
powerful about that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
100%.
It gets a little bit into the bully mentality in a way, you know,
yeah.
in some ways.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is a bully mentality.
It is.
And a
is.
Lot of bullies,
yep.
it's the same thing like in schools. A lot of these so-called bullies, well, they're a bully
yeah.
for a reason. You look back into their home situation. A lot of these kids are abused or come from homes that, you know, their parents are alcoholics or drug addicts, or, you know, they come from a rough upbringing. And so this is their way of lashing out, and by no way does it excuse it. But
yeah.
the problem needs addressed before they, you know, get older and then turn into these toxic adults. And then
yeah.
the cycle continues.
The cycles, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we've talked about
yep.
cycles a lot, Holly. Yep, breaking that cycle, yep. It's unfortunate,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but I've seen it in other ways. But, yeah, it's definitely, I think Q hit it on the head about the self-esteem issue thing. Definitely, I think that's it. A lot of the root of it. It's not coming from a position of strength. It's actually becoming from a low self-esteem and,
a weakness.
And low view of them. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And that's why I'm really surprised, Q, that the men did come out, you know, but it's great that they did because
yeah.
there are a
Fantastic.
Lot of men that are being abused. We can look
yes.
at the whole Johnny Depp situation right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's
that's
a lot of
a, yeah,
men
a big one right
that
now.
Have been,
yeah.
yeah, that have been beat down for years and abused and physically and mentally because they refused to lash back out and hit them back or whatever, you know. They could have, But, you know, a lot of men will not do that. So, you know, they've taken all this abuse for so long, and it just, like, breaks them. And it's terrible because they're ashamed. They're embarrassed. They don't want to talk about it because they think, you know, men should be these big, strong characters and not show any weakness. And, you know, they don't want to talk to nobody about it. So it's terrible. I mean, that's a whole other plethora of added problems upon what they already have, you know, because they're ashamed. They feel ashamed. And it's
well, that's
sad.
Where a book like Dangerous Intentions, you know, clearly reached them. I mean, it clearly that broke through their isolation in that area maybe, and where they couldn't talk to anybody easily. And maybe, you know, in this case, you know, her book, you know, reached them and enabled them to, you know, connect, and you know, then she heard back from them. And I think it's fantastic, you know, that and I'm guessing that was not something that you necessarily expected when the book came out, but that's good to hear that it also was helping, you know, the guys that were going through that kind of thing.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. It makes me really happy, you know, to see that, because I have a passion for helping people. That's part of my purpose. So just to get that feedback, and even till this day, you know, I have more orders coming in, and people are like, hey, when's the book coming? You know, I want to get a copy. Make sure you sign it. So just to still see that, you know, happening from 2017 till now, it's a really good feeling.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. And yeah, Holly, we have to get a copy of this book for our home library for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely want to check this out. Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds like a very powerful story, and a very you know, a lot of, you know, what you know, the word authenticity is overused, I think, a lot these days. But this has that has that kind of ring to it. You know, the authenticity. And that's not
a
good thing.
For men that's not even been through this, but that have to deal with their partner's baggage. You know, like poor Stephen. Stephen had never been through any, like, the horrible things that's happened to me my whole life.
No,
molestation to, you know, the abuse. And, I mean, he had just never been around none of that he was aware of. And so he's had to deal with a lot of that. You know, I've talked to him about it, and that's why I am like I am, you know, and I just don't put up with toxicity, and I get defensive at times, you know. I come off, he says I come off curt sometimes when I'm not meaning to. But Daniel knows how I am. But
I say, Holly, you're not being diplomatic. That's one of my
diplomatic terms. That's the word. I am not a diplomat. I am not. I would be 100% be a dictator. I am not a diplomat.
You'd be the worst ambassador ever.
I really would. But it's because, you know, what I've been through. That's just who I am, and, you know, that's the way it is now. That's how I deal with it. But yeah, I mean, it's great to get the word out there, and by being on podcast and sharing your message, and, you know, it's wonderful. Did you ever have the bug to write prior to this book? I mean, like, when you were, you know, a kid, did you aspire to write a book one day, or you wanted to be a writer, or is this something that you just thought about and thought, I need to get this out there?
I didn't necessarily know my writing was going to turn into a book, you know, when I was writing when I was younger in my teenage years, but I just had a passion for it. I knew, like, I had this creative vibe that I always just, different thoughts would come to me, and it would start off by, you know, a few words, and then that would turn into a sentence, and that would turn into a paragraph, and I would just keep going, and the more that I would write, it would just continue to just flow. And one of the individuals that I wrote about in the book, the funny thing is, when we were together, he said to me, he said, baby, you're so good with words. You know, you should write a book. And then, you know, I ended up, you know, after I left him and everything, I ended up just pouring it all into the book. So I'm glad that I did. Again, I didn't, you know, let fear stop me or, you know, again, think of whatever. I didn't even think it's like, okay, whatever, you know what, whatever's going to be, it's about me. I need to heal. And again, I want to help other people. I know so many people can use my words. And so I'm glad that I did. I have no regrets about it.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I'm glad that you did. That's what I said. It's helped, you know, a lot of the people. I'm sure everybody that's read it, you know, have definitely taken away something from it, whether they've been through a situation like that or, like I said, they have a spouse that's been through it or, you know, they know somebody.
They know someone else. Yeah,
yep.
That's how it is.
Yeah, everybody knows somebody. That's what Daniel was saying, you know. The statistics are high. So, yeah, everybody knows somebody that's been through it.
Well, I'm glad you decided to write.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say, I'm just so glad you decided, you know, you stepped forward and decided to write because, you know, that's one of the great things about writing. You're not locked into a certain time window like you are maybe if you're an athlete or something like that. You know, it's something that, you know, you don't have to have, you know, been a writer, you know, in your childhood or teenage years or college or whatever. I mean, you can take it up at different points in your life and get into it, even if you haven't before. And, I mean, because even I saw where Dolly Parton just wrote her first novel in her late 70s. So, I mean, that's one of the great things about words and writing. Words, writing, and expression is that, you know, when you get the fire and, you know, step forward and do it. And that's awesome because you've proved that.
Absolutely. Yep, for sure. I have, I was going to say, there was a gentleman, he was reading the title of my book, and it just seemed like something came over him, like his face. He looked scared when he read it and when he's looking at it. And I said, "What? Are you okay?" And I said, he said that he didn't want to buy it because he didn't want to read about himself. And I'm like, wow, he actually said that out loud. And even though it wasn't directly about him, but I guess he knew that he was living probably a double life. He's a liar. And so I said, okay, well, you know, maybe why don't you get it for someone else? And then he thought about it, and he's standing there, and he's like, no, because then I don't want to basically he didn't want to get in trouble because if he gave it to, I guess, one or the other women that he's dealing with, they would probably start reading it and putting things together, and then it would all come back on him. I said, okay,
right.
Yeah, let me have the book back because I had other people who wanted to purchase it anyway. So I was like, okay, but that was a first for me, seeing somebody look like that and look at it and say that, like, yeah, sorry, no, I don't want to read about myself. I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bold that at least he admits it, you know. Well, maybe he thought about it, you know. That may have put a seed in his brain, and he thinks, hell, you know, if I felt that bad about it, maybe I need to be relooking how I'm treating people, you know?
Yeah.
It may have actually woke him up. He'll start thinking about it.
Yeah, what?
Wow.
What a story. Wow.
Like Sandy says in the chat room, conviction. Ooh, conviction. Yeah, that conviction will get you every time.
Yeah. For sure.
That's something. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. See, you may even woke him up too. Do you think you'll ever write like a have you thought about writing like an appendium with it, or you thought about writing like a workbook, or maybe doing another book now that maybe not even be on this particular subject, but something else? I mean, did you really enjoy it to the point where you think you'll do this again?
Yes. I have another book that should be out in the next few months. And it's basically Life After Healing. It takes you through. This one, it's a shorter book. It's almost like, you know, one of those those affirmations, those positive affirmations, is something that I feel like you can pick up on a daily basis, and it'll take you just through different phases. And if you are already a positive person, I feel like it would only enhance that. And if you're a negative thinking type of person, hopefully it's something that can change your mindset. And so I just talk about, because the two individuals in the book, they both tried to come back into my life as I was writing, actually, the first book. And when I tell you how scary it was, they reached out to me, like, no joke, they reached out to me within days of each other. That's how creepy it was. Yeah, I was like, are they cousins? Like, what is happening? How does this happen? It's not months apart. I'm talking days apart.
Thanks.
They both, one showed up at my house, and the one had texted me and, you know, sent me this apology and the whole, I love you, and I was so scared. I never loved anyone like that in my life. And, you know, all of that, you know, things
right,
that I
right,
had
right.
heard before. But, yeah, so I just talk a little bit about that, and then, you know, I take you through my podcast. I talk about challenges. I talk about me being a mentor. I talk about believing in yourself. So, again, this is something that I feel can be very helpful. And, you know, when we initially started COVID, we're still dealing with it, but I feel like a lot of people kind of got into a dark place, and I think that, you know, this is something will be helpful, as well as dealing with, like, mental health. You know, telling you that we all go through things in our lives, and we have to learn to still focus on the positive. And because when we focus on the negative, it's kind of like we dismiss all the good things that we have going on in our lives. So we have to remember to stay focused on that and just work on, still continue to work on the other things that we want to be better in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's I mean, that's definitely, I mean, it's something that Holly and I have noticed the last few years, just, you know, maybe slightly anecdotal because it's, you know, just our personal experience. But with Imaginarium, there's been just such an increased interest in mental health in our convention as a topic with the attendees, the, you know, panelists. We've
they
seen it really
panels.
Mushroom the last couple of years, and in a way that it's very different than the previous years. I mean, it's really grown a lot in terms of people.
Yeah, I have people asking me,
you
know, for more mental health panels because they're so well attended and everybody – you know, get something positive from them. And I've, you know, been doing them the past couple of years. And so, yeah, I added even a couple more this year, different ones, you know, geared towards different groups. But, yeah, I mean, it's great that they can all sit there and talk about it, you know, and it is therapeutic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That gets back to the stigmas going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the stigma's not there in the same way it was before, like Q was talking about, you know,
and
reticence.
COVID's been hard on us all. You know, I mean, it changed our outlook of the world. It changed our, you know, it changed a lot of things for us. And the isolation, and it was hard. It was hard on us all. And some people, you know, were hit harder than others. And, yeah, it's good to be able to talk about that and heal and move forward, you know, as a population.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I'm glad you're doing a book on the next phase. Yeah. To show what happens afterward. I mean, I think that's a great topic to do a follow-up on, and looking forward to that book too. We'll have to get you on the show right away when that one comes out.
Well, maybe you'll have it by Imaginarium. Will you have it by Imaginarium?
I might.
In July?
Yeah, possibly. I hope so, because that's sometimes the frustrating part is that, you know, working with I self-published the first book, but, you know, I still had the company do the distribution, and they were supposed to help with the editing. But I found myself, and it's happening again, where I'm doing majority of the work that I pay people to do. But it's frustrating. However, I feel like, it teaches me to teach myself things I normally wouldn't do. So it's all a learning process. Right now it's just waiting on them to finish the cover for the book. So hopefully if they hurry up and, you know, get through that, then, yeah, I should have it by that time. And I'm really excited. I want to do an audio book, too. I'm not sure if I'm going to do an audio book for both books, but I definitely want to do an audio book for this, the second book as well.
Yeah, nice. Very, very nice. Yeah, that's
well, you have somebody else do it.
What'd
Daniel,
you say?
Go ahead and re-ask that, Daniel.
I said, are you planning on doing the audio book yourself, or are you going to have somebody else do it?
I might do it myself. To be honest, I may want to do that myself, but I haven't 100% decided on that yet. But I think just for me, I think I want to tell my own story, just how I wrote it. I feel like I want it to come from me sharing that. So it may end up being myself.
Well, you know the story
yeah.
better than anybody else does, and you can project
yeah.
your own voice better than somebody else
mm-hmm.
can project your voice.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I'm excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think a nonfiction title with something, you know, is very conducive to the person telling it who wrote it. You know, I think that's if they can, which cute,
yeah.
obviously I can hear that she could definitely do a great job.
Yeah, you've got a great voice to do it.
Yeah, you've got a great voice to do it. But that's,
yeah, not
yeah,
everybody can pull it off.
Yeah, that will. But that, yeah, I think that's a good approach, yeah, for sure, on this particular book of this type. But, yeah,
yeah,
that's exciting. And, yeah, it sounds like, yeah, we're going to keep our fingers crossed for July then. Hopefully you'll show up with two
I
books
know.
In hand.
Yeah. Then I can get a signed copy.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm excited for this, too, because this book is going to be in secular markets as well as the Christian markets. So it's going to be even bigger. The first one absolutely could not have been in the Christian market. There's no way that first book would have made it in the Christian market. But, I'm excited. And, you know, I'm really,
awesome.
Really looking forward to this. Thank
yeah,
you.
So it's kind of
great.
Have a kind of a cross genre audience. Then that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Now I wanted to go ahead and ask you a little bit because we've been talking a lot about your book and we've gotten into
yeah.
the topic of the book you're working on. But I would like to get into the podcasting thing because you know obviously we love podcasting. We've been doing this show for about 8 years or 9 years. So tell us about. Tell us about the podcast and what it's about and what you're doing with it.
You know what's interesting? It seems like sometimes when you start one thing, it kind of leads into the other and leads into the other. And
mm-hmm.
when I started writing my book, I would come up with these different and I had put a book together with just different, you know, like words of encouragement, you know, and I put all these quotes together. And then I said, I want to speak. I want people to hear my voice. And so I started, you know, looking up podcasting, and I initially started on, I think it was a Spreaker. I started on that one, and then I started looking for other ones, and I found Anchor. So that's the main platform that I use. And I just started recording, and the subjects are, that's what I call Real Talk with You, Alexander, because I speak about real-life topics, whether it's my own experiences or just, you know, things that happen in the world with society. So the topics vary from talking about my book. I do talk about mental health. I talk about me becoming a mentor. I talk about abuse. I talk about just whatever comes to my mind. And it could be me driving in the car or me just going for a walk or whatever it is and something pops into my mind. Or I even use, let's say someone decides to be rude to me one day, and I say, you know what? I'm going to speak about this. And I just turn it into a podcast. So I just learned to turn every negative situation into something positive. And so it's been great. Right now I'm at this is my 45th episode. So it's growing and growing. Right now I have about like 4.4K listeners, and so it's just been growing, and I'm on multiple platforms. So, again, this is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
Well, it sounds like the perfect title, Real Talk. You couldn't have named it better.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I enjoy it.
That sounds like a good one. That's something I definitely will have to check out because, yeah, that's the kind of thing I enjoy most is, yeah, Real Talk, as you titled it. So, yeah, that's
great. I like the title.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
So you definitely plan to continue and develop that. I'm guessing, the podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just love, like, it's on Amazon Music. It's on Spotify. It's just been growing and growing on so many different platforms, and you know, people again give me feedback. Let's say, for example, the episode on abuse. Someone, she was like, "Oh my gosh, when I listened to that, you know, it reminded me of a situation that I was in, and, you know, you really, really just inspire me, and I love listening to your voice." And I'm like, wow, you know, that just, again, that really, really, it's touching. It's really touching when I get that feedback. I'm like, see, that's why I do it. Not only do I enjoy sharing my thoughts and experiences, but to hear that people are enjoying it and, you know, they can relate to it in some way, that's what it's about.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, because I was curious to find out a little bit more tonight about your podcast work and what the show was all about. And, I know both Holly and I find something like that really interesting. I'm sure Daniel does too. Yeah, he's definitely into the podcasting side of things. Right, Daniel?
I spend a lot of my days doing podcasts and Zooms and everything like that. Are you taking requests to do podcasts right now?
Taking requests? Like from...
Yes.
You mean to, like, interview someone or for me to be on a podcast?
For you to actually be interviewed about your... traumatic situations.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm open to that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good fit with your new one, Daniel.
Yeah, it'd be a great fit with the new one that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking. But that's great. Uh-oh. Yeah, so. And then you have that magic word that I love so much in your bio, entrepreneur. So, because I love entrepreneurs. I love everything about that word and what it means and represents. So is there other stuff that you're involved in business wise, or are these the core two things that you're focused on, or is there more to the sphere that we should know about?
I actually, I write about it in my new book. I created a women's fragrance. When I started my first book, I was working on both. And mind you, I forgot to tell you guys, when I was working on my book and the fragrance, I was actually very ill. I had gotten sick due to being exposed to mold. And I did not know at a place that I was living in, because it was a model unit, and so they had everything dressed up so pretty and painted and everything. And, you know, out of nowhere, I, you know, happened to move the couch, and then I saw all of this mold in the back of on the wall, and then I started to get all these symptoms. Like, I got welts on my leg, I got a rash, I got a fever for over a week, I had night sweats. I was in and out of the hospital, missing work. To tell you the truth, I felt like I was slowly dying.
Right.
And I looked it up. I didn't know how serious mold was
terrible.
And every single symptom that I had, I was like, that's what it is. I mean, I literally went in the shower. I didn't have a welt on my leg when I got in the shower. I looked down. I just had a welt, like someone beat me with a belt. And then it went away probably like I don't know, within a few hours or so. But I was very, and I moved out of that place, but I still had the effects of it. I had trouble breathing. I sleep very light, so if I'm not breathing, I can jump up and feel myself not breathing. But I was dealing with so much, and I still wrote my book while being ill. I still, created the fragrance, and it's like something in me, like this fire, just won't burn out. It's like I would rest, of course, but that determination, that will, like it was like this is what I meant to do. This is my calling, so I have to push myself and do it. Mm-hmm. So I started the fragrance at that time. We came up with the, we did the packaging, we had the custom bottle, everything. And when I went back to basically place my order for the bottles, I couldn't find the company. And so I said, I know that I have entered this company's name in the search many times. What is going on here? So I said, okay, I'll just type it again. And then I still couldn't find them. And then I said, okay, let me scroll down further. Basically, I found out that the company was a scam. And I'm thankful that I found out at that point because I was about to place a large order for 50 bottles. And someone had done a video, and she said that the company, I guess other people had taken over the company. They started taking people's money and all of this stuff. So that basically set me backwards to say, okay, now I did all of this. Now I have to start the process all over again. So instead of going through one company, I had to go through multiple companies to do the bottles, to do the packaging, to do all of this stuff, to try to find a company to recreate the scent that I had created. They weren't able to do it. So I had to create an entirely new scent. And so where we are today, I have everything done all over again. So it's just to the end stage now of me just getting the orders in separately. But, yeah, so I created my own women's fragrance. I could have given up and said when I found out they were a scam, I could have been like, you know what, I'm done. I'm exhausted. That's it. And I took a moment. I was, okay, let me regroup. Let me reset. Let me get back to it. And I started searching other companies. And then so now I got all of that done. And so I'm to the end process with that now. So that should be coming out pretty soon as well.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
What is the scent like?
I didn't hear you.
What is the scent like?
The smell.
It's Fearless Woman. And so my book and my fragrance, I gave them actually the same title. And it's basically it's a very sweet but light scent. It's not harsh. I made sure that I was very involved with the process as much as I could be. I wish that I could be there, to put the scent together myself. But I tell them exactly, I chose all of the fragrance notes myself, the top, the middle, the bottom. And, I told them how I wanted it placed in there, and they create it. And it took a number of tries. I mean, when I say a number of tries, I got frustrated because they couldn't recreate my initial one, but I'm still happy with the other scent that that I came up with. So it's really nice.
What do
and
you
again,
call
the feedback
it?
With that has been great. My scent, Fearless Woman.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great branding,
yeah.
Too, with connecting it
nice.
With the book. That's awesome. Smart.
And where can people purchase it? Where can you purchase this?
Well, it's not available. It's not available yet.
Okay. Okay.
I'm hoping, it's gonna start through me, and then, I have a locations mm-hmm. that I'll, go and market it to. But yeah, the Fearless Woman, the book Fearless Woman, that was just like I just didn't even expect that. But when I thought about it, And I said, you know what, just be fearless in the pursuit of everything that I want to do and just going after it. And I just said, why not name the book the same thing and just really show and show people how I was able to accomplish all of these things, and I didn't allow anything to stop me, and I stayed positive. And so, yeah, I just linked them together. And I said, yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, I know Holly can endorse that title, Fearless Woman. Yeah, she, I know,
yes.
I know you like that one.
I do.
That's
I love
awesome.
So
we'll all smell good at Imaginarium, hopefully, because
right.
You might have it by then.
Oh, that'd be neat.
So
you could sell it with your book. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I plan to do one for men as well. So that'll be down the line. I want to do for men also. Yeah, I think men.
Nice.
I just love fragrances. Nice cologne for men and a nice scent, fragrance for a woman. I love. I love creating, so I have a lot of fun doing that.
Creating the fragrance, you said the top, middle, and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does that mean to a novice?
That's like it depends. Like when you want, like the top note when you first smell a scent, like that's the first, you know, of what you're gonna smell, and the middle note, that's kind of what comes next, but the bottom is like the lasting scent. So it just all depends of what you want. So if you choose apple or you know, lavender, whatever the scent is that you want to have that lasting effect, like that's what you should put towards the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, took my time and, you know, I think of the scents that one of my favorites, Celine Dion Sensational, that is one of my favorite scents in the world. So I think of things like that and I just say, you know what, I choose from a list of different notes. And the hard part is you don't know what it's going to smell like because it's not, you know, right there in front of you. So I just have to take a chance and I say, okay, put this one, okay, try this. And then, you know, they send it back to me within a few weeks or a month or so. And then, you know, I smell the different samples and then I go ahead and choose. But like I said, it was so many different, you know, rounds to get it right or, you know, as close as possible to what I would like. So again, I'm happy with it, and I'll probably create another, you know, women's scent. And what I did in the meantime, I just ordered, like, my own, like, oil scent, and I ordered, like, vial samples off of Amazon, and I created this table, and I just started mixing different scents together myself, you know, because I created, like, 18 different scents within, like, 2 weeks. And my friend came and he smelled it. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, what? I didn't even tell him that I, you know, created that. He's like, what is that smell?
Right.
That smells so good. I was like, look. And I showed him. He's like, wow, that is really good. So I love being able to do that.
You've just got a nose for it. You've got, you know, that's a talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you'll
That's
definitely
neat.
Have tests on Holly because she can smell things on the other side of the house. I mean, she's got a great
It's
wild.
I can't stand it.
I
have allergies and chronic sinusitis, so I can't even imagine if I didn't have all that going on, it would probably be way overwhelming because I smell everything, and I'm very particular.
That's funny.
Yeah, I love canned fish. It's one of my things. I just love, like, you know, for like a snack or whatever, canned fish. And if I open one on the opposite side of the house, she'll know within 3 seconds. I mean, that's she is.
There's no way you can know that. You are all the way down the hall in the office, or I'll be in the bedroom. He'll be in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can. I smell it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she'll definitely be able to appreciate all the notes in your fragrance. She'll get it.
Yeah, I enjoy
Holly
that. Well, I love working with essential oils, and I have come up with a few scents myself. And a friend of ours, Vic a few years ago, he told me you know, what his favorite scents were and kind of what he was looking for. So I did a few mixtures, did like five, you know, come up with five different scents and roller bottles for him and took it to him, and he picked the one. But, yeah, it's fun. It is fun to play with the different oils and mix them up. And then it's great when you can, you know, do your own. Yeah, and tweak it to your body chemistry, because as you know, it never smells the same on any two people, you know.
That's
with our body chemistry.
That's true. And I love learning about it. So like the correct term is like the top notes, the heart notes, and the bass notes. So it's like just kind of, you know, teaching myself. I love just to learn about it. You know, you should want to learn about whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're creating. So that was fun too.
Absolutely.
I teach people when it comes to like cigars is breathe it through your mouth. And then you breathe it through each nostril individually.
A cigar.
Because your nostrils will have a different smell depending on what side of the body they're on.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep.
So, you know,
we also become nose blind. If you're around a particular scent, like certain air fresheners, wherever you use it in your house, eventually you don't even notice it anymore because we become nose blind. So if you smell the same scent every day over and over and over and over, well, then you don't even smell it anymore, you know, and you don't notice it as much. So that's why you got to change it around.
They can't smell the perfume they put on that morning, so they think that it's worn off. So they add more, and then they can't
add
smell
more,
that
more, and more.
Add more.
Yeah.
By that afternoon and everything, you know, they've got a cloud walking around them.
That's true. That's why it's always good to change it up. I was in the store earlier, and I walked by a gentleman, and I was like, whoa, it made my nose tickled, everything. I thought I was going to sneeze. I was like, wow. I mean, it smelled good. I mean, it smelled clean, but wow. I mean, it was like half a bottle, you know. It went a little overboard.
Oh, wow.
It's all about placement, too, because some people just spray it all over them, you know. But it's about, putting
too
it,
much.
You know, you want to hit your pulse point. That's a perfect place for a woman. It's a place, the perfume on your pulse points, where you would get your pulse, your wrist, your neck, you know.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you put it, you know, in all those places. Or you could, I know some people spray and then they walk into it. You walk into the sniff. I've seen people do that too.
That's funny.
I like them doing that better than I do them spraying it straight onto their body because they'll, you know, pump it like, you know, 20 times on their body where they only spray it once out into the air.
What?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't like that when it's too much. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can always have too much of a good thing, that's for sure. But I do love the smell of a good perfume or a good cologne.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, you've
got
a lot going on. Go ahead. Sorry.
I said I got you a bourbon scent from Bath & Body Works. And it smells
great.
But it's called bourbon, you know, and it don't smell like bourbon. But
no,
it
doesn't make you smell like you're drunk or something.
Like
it doesn't make you smell like you've just been drinking.
No. He would absolutely love that. But it does smell good.
Big bottles of bourbon scent, you know, here and everything.
Yeah.
Spray bottles of it, so.
Well, that's true. I could just put a spray, you know, one of the pumps on these bourbon bottles, and he could. There you go.
That'd be a little different.
It's sanitizer. It's cologne. It's
well,
Yeah, that's true. Medicine, you know,
guess,
hey, but... it's all around.
But,
like duct tape.
Well, we're coming up on about 5 minutes here, Q. So, I mean, you've got a lot going on with the new fragrance coming up, Fearless Woman, and you, as you revealed the title of the next book, and you know, you got your podcast rolling. So 2022 is definitely getting active for you quick. You're coming to Imaginary, and we've talked about that, but we'd love to give you the opportunity to talk about any other events or anything like that that you have scheduled coming up in the next few months here. What do you got going on?
At this time, I don't have any other events that I foresee happening, but I'm hoping that if not before I come there, that will also lead to more opportunities, because I noticed that I have had so many opportunities thus far. I've had many different interviews. I've done motivational speaking. I've got invited to, like I did a podcast at FIU at the Women's Center. So that's what I love, being able to even speaking on this platform. You don't know what other opportunities it may bring. So I just leave myself definitely open to that. I'm continuously marketing and networking. So, you know, who knows? Only God knows what's in store for me. And I'm just so thankful and so blessed thus far for everything that I have going on. So I'm happy for that. And I just look forward to what's to come.
That's great. And the best is yet to come. It sounds like awesome things ahead for you. So, but where do you want folks to connect with you online? Any social media, particular websites? Tell our listeners where to find you now.
If you want to follow me on IG, you can find me at Gratitude Mindset 247. Also, if you want to check out my podcast, Real Talk with Q Alexander, you can find me. I am available everywhere, but you can go to anchor.fm/QAlexander. You can find me there, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. Please feel free to check it out, listen. I hope that you enjoy it. Share with your family and friends. And I'm so thankful for all my listeners thus far. And I look forward to any new listeners as well. And if you
That's
go to
awesome.
Facebook, you can also just look up author Q Alexander. You'll be able to find me. I actually have my main page, and I have a fan page on there as well. So you should be able to, either page you want to follow or request me is fine.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And Holly, is there any final things that we should ask? Because we got about 2 minutes to roll on the live part.
When you do get your fragrance out, you said that you're going to look at like different stores and different venues to sell it. Are you going to also offer it with your books at book signings and like on your websites with where your books are sold?
Yeah, that's definitely something that I was looking into, you know, putting it together that way. So yeah, that's going to be an option as well. Absolutely.
Great.
And I'll have the little samples as well. I'll have the samples that, you know, people can get also. So.
Oh, neat.
Fantastic.
Well, I'll give you an idea real quick before we get off here. We're always good at throwing ideas around. Yeah, to get you some samples. And when you, like, are at a convention or whatever, when you sell a book, give them a sample of the of your perfume. Give them a sample with the book. See?
Yep.
And then they'll probably come back, and there you go. You'll sell some perfume.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be getting the cologne when it comes out. So, awesome.
Yep.
That's
see?
Right.
So, there you go.
Well, thank you, Q, for joining us tonight. You've been an awesome guest. I'm so looking forward after all Holly's been telling me about you. I mean, you're just awesome. And and Sandy said from the chat room she cannot wait to meet you in person this summer. So,
I know.
We're all looking forward to it.
Thank you. I look forward to meeting her, too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been so much fun.
You bet. And let us know about what's going on with you. We'd love to share your information as the new stuff rolls out and have you back on the show, of course, later when your new book comes out, too. So, thanks for joining us tonight, Q, and we'll have you back again in the future for sure.
Yeah, All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Take care. It was nice chatting with all of you.
You too.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay,
and,
good night. Bye.
And, folks, yeah, thank you very much for listening tonight. Star Chamber Show live podcast next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll have another fantastic creative guest, and I'll turn it over to Holly and Daniel to take us out.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And join us next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hopefully, we have no storms. We made it through tonight. Clear weather. So,
yes.
Have a great weekend. Do something fun and creative for yourself. And we will chat with you then. Off to Daniel.
As you heard Q talk about tonight, that creativity is not, you know, may not always just be your creativity. It may be your salvation. And be able to take you out of places that you don't want to be anymore. So use that creativity and realize that your creativity, like Q's, can be in many different places. You know, we also learned that, you know, designing perfume is a creative process. And anybody, you know, might be able to do it, but it takes that one person to actually do it. And your creativity is your one person to be able to do your creativity, and that's you. Until we have a chance to talk next week, remember, be creative and be yourself and love others. This is Daniel Dark signing off.